Shelley Castillo, the senior DEA agent for Latin America, helped contribute to a lot of Gary Webb's Pulitzer Prize-winning work exposing CIA drug trafficking, is here with us. Chico Brown, associate of the biggest drug dealer in West Coast history, who is in prison, who we interviewed last night via telephone. We just gave you those revelations from the federal prison he's in North Texas. Again, Chico Brown, the associate of Freeway Ricky Ross. Gary Webb shot in the face with a shotgun, and he told Freeway Ricky Ross in a phone conversation that he would come home and men, you know, obviously very highly trained, government types was his term, would shimmy down the drain pipe and run off. And we were just talking to Shelley. He gets followed. He's had people going into his house, taking photos. He's got CIA officials he knows was involved in drug trade. Shelley's come to town and gone over these documents publicly at public events and been on some of the local TV shows and been on this radio show. It's an honor to have him. Of course, he was a sniper in Vietnam, highly decorated. And he said it, hey, you know, he's on borrowed time. It's up to God. And same here. You know, we can't be cowards. We have to be men. If the men aren't men, we become slaves. Our women become slaves. Our children become slaves. To be free, men got to stand up to evil, to bullies, to criminals. Organized crime has seized control of the country. We're going to go to break and go to Chico here in a few minutes, but can you talk about the mentality of your courage? I wouldn't call it macho, Shelley. It's just you're an honorable veteran and, veteran of the drug war, veteran of Vietnam. You saw this happening. Tell us why you do what you do, and then describe for us the type of individuals, the sociopaths, that are becoming wealthy off this.
Well,
off the drug trade.
Exactly. Basically, you know, I the way I was raised was, you know, you were taught what was right and what was wrong. And basically, I've always stood by that and was always doing the right thing, whether you know, I felt about, you know, good about it or not, that, you know, I had to do the right thing. And when I started working with the government, I realized that at the end of the day, we ended up being the enemy and the bad guys and the assassins and the murders and everything else. And, of course, that, blew my mind away. You know, I couldn't understand why one arm of the government was fighting the so-called war on drugs, while the other arm was sleeping with the cartels. And it was then and there that I realized that this is not the government that I thought I was going to be protecting and serving. I realized that that I had to do something, so I started knowing the fact that I would, in my career with the DEA, which basically it did, because informing the Washington and the ambassadors about the atrocities that they were occurring in their countries, and even at the end when I left, you know, my whole look at life was the fact that I was looking for a job when I found that. And to me, it was, you know, you have to do the right thing and continue. And I did. I continued to talk about it after I left and documented. One of the greatest things that's saved me, I think, it's been my journals. I've documented just about everything that happened in Central America. And I was an avid photographer, which I ended up taking hundreds of pictures of the before, the after, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And you were there at the bases while the DEA was fueling the drug aircraft.
Exactly. We, you know, running a covert operation of undercover operations, refueling those planes that we call the Islanders that were being refueled there in Ilopango or in Guatemala, and with the anticipation that they were going to be seized in Texas or in California somewhere down the line once they crossed the border. And you know, I started to question the fact that, you know, nothing would ever happen. So the DEA was part of those covert operations and saturating the whole country.
And so for how long did you stay inside and covertly document?
Well, basically for 6 years I did that in Central America, even though I was warned that if I continued. So once I was warned to stop my reporting, I knew that I was going to go full blast with it. And
we got a break. We'll come back.
Miles.
We got a break.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Gary Webb, Pulitzer Prize winning writer for the San Jose Mercury News, who also wrote the best-selling book Dark Alliance, was shotgunned in the face 2 days ago. And we talked to Freeway Ricky Ross from prison last night. They don't allow face-to-face interviews. He learned from us that He was one of the main sources for Gary Webb, that Gary had died, and said that Gary, the last time he talked to him, said he was being followed all over the place by government people, that he'd come home to his house at least twice, and government men, you know, with precision, would shimmy down a small drain pipe down the back of his house from the two-story window and run off into the night. He was working on news stories, and Gary focused in his first series on the drug dealing in South Central, the connection to the Contras and the CIA. And then, of course, Celi Castillo was the head of the DEA operations in Latin America, folks. And for years, he became aware of this, documented it, took the photos, the documents, was basically threatened over it. He's come to Austin and done two-hour presentations showing the photos, the documents, who the drug dealers are. He was there in Latin America watching the DEA fuel the drug planes. It's unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, he was a friend of Gary Webb's and learned of it within 2 hours after they found his body, his face shotgunned away. And again, folks, for those that don't use firearms a lot, haven't done a lot of hunting, haven't done a lot of target practice and shooting, you shoot somebody with a 12-gauge up close, it just blows a big hole in their head. You've got to shoot them from at least 5 feet away to blow their face off. I don't want to go into too many details of it, but the pattern spreads out from there. That's what a shotgun does. So that, we have confirmed, his face is basically blown off. We're not going to let him kill somebody, a hero like Gary Webb, and that's obviously, this should be treated as a murder, as a homicide, and then ignore that. And I just want to say this before we go to Chico Brown and back to Selly. Yesterday, the paramedics went public in England with Dr. David Kelly, the top UN weapons inspector from England, who said that there were no weapons of mass destruction. And then he told an American colleague and a British colleague that, quote, if I don't shut up, they're going to kill me and put me in the woods. I've been told this. And then a few weeks later, he was found dead in the woods, and the paramedics have gone public and said, look, his wrists were slit, and there was no blood at the scene. We've been to suicides. If you bleed to death, there's blood. Princess Diana said, they killed my boyfriend, and Charles has told me they're going to kill me in a fake auto accident. Then they clearly kill her in the fake auto accident, crash the car, and then don't bring her to the hospital for an hour and 45 minutes total. And then 75% of the British people believe they killed her, but the media still says, oh, no, 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 no. My point is, bringing those up, is that they do this over and over again. We saw Fahmy Malik, the Arkansas medical examiner, with people with two shotgun blasts to the head, people with arms and legs cut off in trash dumps, and they would rule this as suicides. We've seen cops killed in the Oklahoma City bombing case who are exposing government involvement, stabbed 13 times, throat slit, handcuff marks, people tortured with electricity marks all over them, beaten from head to toe, beatings on the bottoms of their feet, and these sicko coroners will say, suicide. Well, I'll never commit suicide. Selly has said he'll never commit suicide. Now we're bringing up Chico Brown, and he runs one of the biggest youth organizations in L.A., and, of course, he's changed his ways and done a great job. He was a co-defendant with Freeway Ricky Ross, the biggest drug dealer in West Coast history. And, Chico, we appreciate your courage and your honor in coming forward. And, of course, you were friends with Gary Webb and got a lot of information for us. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in L.A.
Presently, I run a place called Home, with a youth center with over 5,000 members for at-risk kids, kids from, you know, from different communities of Compton, South Central L.A. That program is, you know, to help kids, not because I don't want to see them go to prison. I also have another program called Life on Purpose. It's a computer literacy program that I put down all the 19 juvenile camps in Los Angeles County, because I feel that I have to educate the kids so they won't have to go through the same situation that me and Rick went through, and that's, you know, going to prison and, you know, have to go with these prison ways and get
a lot. And our film crew was just out in L.A. interviewing you for several days, and, man, you've got a lot of great people involved in your program, like Al Pacino, the list just goes on and on, out there helping youth.
Yeah, my biggest one is Penny Morse. She helped me on a day-to-day basis. I mean, the Lakers, Brad Pitt, Mark Wahlberg, a lot of different people that helped me in my organization.
Well, would you like to tell folks you're not planning suicide anytime soon?
No, that's never going to happen.
What did you think when you heard, and pop in any time, Selly, I know you know Selly, a great patriot, a great American, as
yeah,
well.
How you doing, Seth?
Tell us a little bit. I mean, what did you think when you got the call?
Well, I always knew, because it always came up, one of these days we were going to get that call and saying that happened to him or somebody that was involved in his case. So that wasn't, it wasn't shocking to me that they would say that, because I knew, because riding in the car with him, you know, many times, and we just talked about that stuff, and he was like, you know, used to tell me, you know, when the case first broke, I used to say, man, you're not scared for your life, and he would say something like, you know, well, Chico, you know, I just got to do what I have to do, but, you know, I've been getting death threats and stuff like that. This is when we first, the case first came open. But
now, again, on record, he told you he'd been getting death threats when he was first working on the case. Continuing now, please.
Yeah, that's when the case first opened. I actually, you know, when we was going to court, you know, and all this stuff started coming out, because I had got out on bail, so he came to L.A., and we rode around for weeks. You know, he wanted to talk to me about the case and stuff. And so in that conversation, he was always saying, you know, I get death threats all the time, Chico. And so to me, when it happened, when I got the news and I actually read it in the paper, my father called me, and I was like, man, that time, because he always told me, like, you know, something like that would happen, like, you know, they can get you anytime they want, stuff like that. And so I automatically said to myself, well, damn, my father said he killed himself. I said, yeah, right. My father said the same thing. You know, I just knew one of them that day was going to happen, though, that one day we was going to get that call.
I just talked to you during the break, and Shelly just learned of this. We talked to Freeway Ricky from prison last night. We recorded it. We're going to be playing in the third hour or tomorrow. We're having to upload it right now. But he said the last time he talked to Gary said, this is recently, he was being followed by cars. He would come home and men, I would call it special forces type, but he described them as government, with great skill, would literally just leap down and slide down the drain pipe and run off into the darkness. Shelley's had people breaking into his house. What was that revelation like for you?
Yeah, I know, because I think I talked to him about 6 months ago. And when they said suicide to me, I know the guy. I know he would never do nothing like that. And but for him to just open and say something like that, I was like, man. And then when I talked to Rick's mother, the day I called her, her first word was like, Chico, they killed him, you know. And that was her first word. I said, you know, Gary's dead.
Unbelievable. Let me bring Shelly in. Shelly, any comments to this?
Well, you know, that's the way the government works. That's the way that they have always worked. If I actually spoken to some people that have been on operations with the government when they go out and assassinate people, and that's exactly the same MO that they've used for years, and it's worked, and they have carte blanche to do just about anything and get away with it. You know, we saw it with the Cubans, we saw it with the different kinds of hit squads that they bring down to the U.S. to commit these atrocities.
Now, Shelly, you're a unique expert on this subject. I mean, you were, I don't want to call you an assassin, but a highly decorated Vietnam sniper, then the head of DEA operations in Latin America, witnessing all this death squads and stuff going on in drug dealing. And so when you say this is the M.O., I mean, how can police then just automatically suicide, case closed? How do they control local Sacramento police to that level?
Well, because you know, coming down from Washington, you know, it's every operation is approved by the CIA. Every single one of them is approved. So they know better than to mess around with them, because of, you know, they use all kinds of techniques. You know, one of the first tools that they use against individuals would be like the IRS. You get audited and you know, you end up paying thousands of dollars. That's the first tool to let you know that you know, they're after you, and they give you a couple
of warnings. Why are people so cowardly? I mean, I don't even think I'm that have that much courage, but I'm not going to let a bunch of drug dealers ruin our country.
Well, you know, they're doing it, and they're getting away with it. That's the whole issue here.
But that's because more of us aren't standing up.
Well, that's what it is, and that's the problem. We're having that major problem. We saw at these elections where people thought that it was going to change and didn't change. And we have to take we've got to take it to them now. Let's say.
Chico Brown, what do you think about just it seems like the corruption gets worse and worse. The good news is everybody I talk to now, it's an open secret that the government controls the drug trade. But still, now everybody knows the truth. But still, the SWAT teams will raid some teenager's house for a bag of marijuana and ruin their life.
Oh, man, that's so true. Because, you know, when that story first broke and everybody was excited for it, the L.A. Times, Washington Post, I remember Gary was saying, you know, they want my story, Chico, they want my story, but he wasn't willing to give his story to the bigger newspaper, and then it was a conflict right there, and, you know, his story was unique, and it was true, you know, it had facts, and they were like, okay, if you don't want to do this, this is what we're going to do, and then when they wrote the three-page series denying everything that he said and worked hard on, you know, that's where I knew, well, man, we have problems.
Yeah.
Problems like that. You know, they can deny all these facts and make it look like you're the victim and the villain.
Alex.
Yes.
Let me just add something to that. You know, I'm an expert witness now for entrapment and informants for the defense. So I get hired or retained by different attorneys and families from all over the country. And every single case that I've worked on for the defense, we realize and we find out the perjury, the corruption that the government is using to destroy families. So it does happen. There is an ammo on that.
Yeah. We'll be back with Chico Brown and Silly Castillo, and I'm Alex Jones. We'll tell you about their websites and more information. And if they want to stay with us, we'll take some calls as well. We also have our international expert joining us later in the hour.
Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
We're talking to Silly Castillo. He, of course, was the senior DEA agent in Latin America, firsthand for years, witnessed CIA drug trafficking, documented it, tried to covertly fight it, and then was basically told to shut up. And then, of course, Chico Brown, who was there, co-defendant with Freeway Ricky Ross. Freeway Ricky in prison right now for being one of the biggest drug dealers in West Coast history. And he, of course, one of the main sources for Gary Webb. Gentlemen, both of you. First, Chico, any websites, for your organizations, any contact info you want to give people? Same thing for you, Sally.
Yeah, chico@apch.org. APCH is a place called home, .org. And I can be reached by phone at the office, 323-232-7653.
And that's an email address. Is there a website as well?
Yeah, apch.org.
apch.org. That's your youth center with over 5,000 children involved. I've done a lot of great work trying to keep them out of this system.
Yeah.
And really, I found that's the message to keep kids out of drugs, is to explain to them that it's a trap literally laid by the establishment to get them into these private prisons.
Exactly. I mean, I travel all over the states and speak about on it. It happened to me and Rick, and how we were just pawns in the whole drug war.
Sally, any contact info for you? Or?
Well, anybody can email me at a very simple email address. It's called powderburns@prodigy.net. Real simple. powderburns@prodigy.net or from the wilderness if... you can order a book from them or from me. And also, just to say that I will be in Austin this weekend at the Crockett Convention Center at the gun show, and I'll be selling my videos and my book there in case anybody wants to go down there.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, you're a fellow Texan here with us. We'll give out your contact info to get the book a little bit later.
Right. Or you can also call me at 956-345-5770. 956-345-5770.
Or powderburns@prodigy.net.
Exactly.
We're going to go to break and come back with Paul Watson to give us the international view on the drug trade, but I want to go back to Gary here. I mean, he's dead now, and my gut tells me, your gut tells you, the MO tells you, Sally, the MO tells you, Chico, that he was killed, and I know he'd been working on some new things. Any hints on what he was working on? I know that the media had been saying, oh, look, he is vindicated. What he said was true. What do you think's going on here?
Well, let me just say one thing that's real simple. You got to remember, nobody's done a documentary on Iran-Contra or the whole issue with the CIA involving drug trafficking. And maybe that's what he was trying to put together, something that was going to expose the Bush administration going back. There's a book called Firewall by Lawrence Walsh, who who wrote about how they conspired and how they covered up the whole operation. So, you know, that could possibly be it, but I think that we need to have some kind of documentary out there and to really educate, you know, I'd be glad to donate my pictures and my films to that whole issue, but it's got to be done. You know, Fahrenheit 9/11, everybody went crazy, you know, the most documentary thing done.
That was nothing.
And that was nothing. And that's exactly. So now we have something that we can actually go out there and not, don't let Gary's dad be a denial to everybody else that needs to be educated or into what's really going on with the government. And
what about also trying to force the local police to have it as a murder investigation?
Well, we can do that.
I guess the people who know he'd been saying he was getting threatened and stuff should call the police and call the media and go, how dare you?
You know, I just wrote a story on a Soldier of Fortune magazine, and Felix came on and his acknowledgement with how they killed Che Guevara in Bolivia. And my point is they took him out because he was being threatened, and at the end of the day, they found out that he's an icon now. And they go on and do stuff like that. So we can't let Gary Stead just go unnoticed, and we have to do forums.
Yeah, that's the point. They turn people into martyrs.
Yeah, and we got to do something to, you know, his death not in vain and so forth. And we got to do something. We just can't let it talk about it for a while. And then
let me get a comment from Chico on that. Okay. No, I agree. We're going to focus on this. Chico, comments to keeping Gary's memory and work alive?
We definitely got to do something, you know, like you said, do a film about the situation. I think if the mass public know what really goes, really went on, and so these documents that Gary has, that a lot of people have, that I have, that people never seen, and just know what went on in our courtroom when he was willing to testify, and they talk about, you know, the CIA was there, and everything that's coming out right now was not allowed in me and Rick's trial when we went to court. They would not let us talk about none of the CIA involvement, even though that we have proof and documents. It was just we went on as a regular little case. But
we got a break. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, please, both of you stay with us.
I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip.
There have been several LA Times obituaries, really vicious things, going after Gary Webb. And Richard Heinberg, author of The Party's Over and Power Down, observed after reading the Times obituary, the LA Times obit is disgusting. What's our attitude towards investigating journalism? Well, of course we try to discourage it whenever we can, but sometimes it happens anyway. Then we get especially nasty. We have to, naturally, to protect our reputation. Yeah, I loved USA Today when they said Jones raises allegations that Schwarzenegger's father was a Nazi. I raise allegations. That's your journalism. Yes, the allegation that the Sun came up today, the allegation that Arnold's from Austria, the allegation that Hitler is from Austria, the allegation that ducks quack, that water is wet. I mean, the media, and I read the articles they did trying to attack Webb, they were never on any information. I mean, I've interviewed the people on both ends of it. They catch CIA bringing drugs in all the time. Here in Texas, they find tractor trailers full of 3 tons of coke, and the police show up and say, let it go. They come and tell the Border Patrol, let it go, this is our shipment. That's been in the Associated Press. Selly Castillo, of course, a senior DEA officer for, 7 years in Latin America, tried to blow the whistle on all this. You're in Texas. Do you remember back in the late 90s when they had that tractor trailer of CIA coke and they made them just give it back? And it was even in the newspaper. Just, oh, we just let it go. You know, we had it for a day, but we ordered to let it go. It was the government's.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's still continuing. Just recently, there's a senior DEA agent that's been involved in drug trafficking for many years for the cartels in Mexico. And he sells a lot of the information to the drug traffickers organizations. And this guy's been around for close to almost 20 years now, and nothing's ever happened to him because he's part of the apparatus that's built right outside the intelligence agency that they're continuing to finance drug trafficking.
Well, all these intelligence agencies are like twin towers. The corrupt, rotten part is a small part, but it's the top. Everybody else knows to go along, and they build right next to it, the whole system that runs parallel.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it continues to do that. And we have the involvement of the government in the cover-ups. And just recently, there were several customs agents arrested here in South Texas for their involvement in drug trafficking.
But again, they get busted because they're low-level guys cutting in.
They're covering up for the main guys. I see it all the time, where the U.S. Attorney's Office will perjure themselves before a grand jury. And it's allowed. And they do this, Alex, because they know that at the end of the year, the president will pardon a lot of these individuals that work for them. George Sr. Pardoned a Pakistani drug trafficker, heroin trafficker, right before he left office.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, everybody.
Did the same thing.
And they're all going to be pardoned.
And then George Jr. tells Dan Burton's committee, don't go after Clinton for pardoning giant coke dealers.
Yeah.
And then the media doesn't even pick up on it, showing these guys are all just puppets.
Yeah. And that's why they do all this, and they get away with it, because even if they get arrested, at the end of the day, they'll be pardoned.
Well, Sally, I'll tell you what I don't like, and Chico, I'll tell you what I don't like. We're about to bring Paul Watson in. I don't use drugs other than an occasional cerveza with my Mexican food or a glass of red wine with my Italian food. I drink one cup of coffee in the morning. I mean, that's the extent of my drug use. But I've many times had the police pull me over, ask to search my car, and I tell them no, and they act like I'm evil and go, what do you got to hide? I go, it's called the Fourth Amendment, bro. Don't you want your kids to grow up in a free country? And I'll start giving them a speech. Don't you know your bosses bring the drugs in? You know, they're just, and by making drugs illegal, it puts the profit in it and brings the gangs in and criminalizes our society and drives the crime wave.
Absolutely. That's what I try to teach some of my kids at the high school on criminal justice. I teach them that, racial profiling is alive and well in Texas, all over the country. And you lost your Fourth Amendment right on profiling.
Well, it's true. I've seen it. They really, on average, and I'll see a black cop doing it to a black guy, a Mexican cop doing it to a Mexican.
Exactly.
I mean, but it's like we're allowed to be even meaner to the minorities, but I'm a white guy, man, with blonde hair and blue eyes, and they're pretty mean to me.
Yep.
I mean, what is this? Chico, any comments?
To me, I got stopped every time I turned a corner, so I just thought it was a thing that went on all around the country.
Well, a lot of people are going to get upset when they put in these new national ID card systems that passed last week. They're going to have hardened checkpoints on the road where they search your cars like the airport.
Is that a fact?
No, they're doing that already. They're doing it here in Texas by the Department of Public Safety. They're profiling everybody. And one of the first questions they'll ask you is, for example, they'll stop the driver and get him off, and then they'll go ask the passenger, where was the last time you filled up about your car? Now, where are you coming from? Where are you going? What are you taking? And I taught my kids that once you get stopped and you say no to the search, and they say, well, I'm going to do that, or I'm going to bring the dog for probable cause.
Bring the dog!
And then what my kids will do, they'll dial 911 because it's recorded, and you have an illegal search, a violation of your constitutional rights.
Also,
and it's recorded.
Again, when they say, what do you have to hide? You need to tell them, look, my Fourth Amendment, would you like being pulled over and searched like this? And people that I know go, well, I'll let them search because I don't have any drugs. Folks, that's the point. Because you haven't done anything wrong, make them get a dog. Make them. But listen, here's the thing. Here's the deal. People are going to jail in Round Rock, Texas, for not returning, a week late, a videotape to Blockbuster Hollywood Video. I have Associated Press articles where somebody moves and forgets to return a library book, and when they come back to town later and get arrested, they're charging him. Folks, I know Korean War veterans. I know an old man, 75 years old, no criminal record, driving back from the South Texas fishing at the coast. And they said, mind if I search your car? And he said, sure. They arrested him for a filleting knife. And they'll arrest old men, folks, with vet stickers. Okay? They'll arrest old men with vet stickers for having a filleting knife in their car. They'll arrest people who I have friends. One guy's like 45 years old, owns his own company. you know, with the lawnmowers and trimming yards, they arrested one of the members of his crew because there was a machete in the back. Folks, you use a machete when you're clearing brush in somebody's backyard. It was in there with the lawnmowers and everything. My point is, it's like New York arresting somebody because the tip wasn't 20%. That was New York Daily News. Arresting people because they finish a candy bar before they get on the subway. They said they chewed aggressively. Sully, I mean, are you seeing this system where everything's a crime?
It's funny. Here in Texas, you can drive around your truck with an AK-47. It's not illegal. Imagine that. But yet a knife or whatever they want to come out with that, you know, they can charge you with. And it's all up to them. And that's why you never give permission for them to search. No matter what, never give permission.
Because then if they do it without a warrant and they get the knife, you're going to have a defense in court.
Exactly. And see, once you target those police officers for doing, they have a tail, what we call a cola, which means this guy has been involved in a lot of civil rights violations, and I think people will start listening to him, or you get a civil rights attorney. You just file on them, and that's exactly what happened just recently, a couple of days ago, when the police officers ran sting operations on 18-wheelers, and they violated the guy, they beat him up, and then they let him go. And so, you know, it is continuing to happen, and we need to put a stop to it.
Here's another example. I know old people. Again, I mean, the reason I bring up the old people is because it's an old lady, and they got $4,000 cash in their purse. No drugs. Cops go ahead and take it. That's mainstream news.
Oh, yeah.
We've got cases where the old man or old lady has their, you know, they sell it at all the grocery stores, a little pill box where you take the pills you need and you put them for the day in there when you go on a day trip. They're arresting people for having their pills out of their pill bottles.
Yeah.
And again, I know we've kind of diverged, but this is what this whole drug war is about. I mean, I want to bring Paul Watson up from England. Paul, they've got the drug war over there. I know you've covered what happened here in Texas. Tulia, Texas, 50-something black people, no criminal record, no drugs found. They just come arrest them and put them in the local prison owned by the local town fathers.
Well, and you know what, Alex? It's still continuing. There's two other cases I'm working on, task force cases. They're continuing to do the same thing. They're taking the money. Instead of taking the guys to the police department, they take it out to a little ranch, a little barn. They slap them around and try to get them to confess where the money's at, and then they let them go. I mean, can you imagine that? The task forces, that's why they need to be disbanded, and it doesn't work. It has never worked, and it's all it does is corrupt everybody.
You're talking about multi-jurisdictional task forces.
Exactly.
Paul Watson comments along these lines.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the drug situation in England. Before the war in Afghanistan, Tony Blair publicly stated, "We will bomb the poppy fields." And look at what's happened since the
record
invasion
level
of Afghanistan. Yeah, and that, you know, that represents one third of the entire world's drug trade, that Afghan Golden Crescent, you know, $200 billion or more. And so now the reports are, you know, record levels of heroin and opium on the streets of London. And Tony Blair promised us that he would bomb the poppy fields. So they're bringing this system in, which ties in with exactly the same kind of police state measures that are being introduced in this country as they are in America, things like the ID card and internal checkpoints. So it's the same system being introduced at the same time.
We've been covering the obvious murder, and I'll say it. It should be a homicide investigation of Gary Webb. Some incredible revelations, Paul, listening the last hour. Do you have any questions for Chico Brown or for Sully Castillo concerning this murder?
Well, my thoughts on it, as you mentioned before, are the media complicity in the reporting of the death. You know, aside from the fact that so-called suicide related to the Bush crime family, the odds are, you know, akin to winning the lottery jackpot twice with two tickets. The media have been complicit in that they calmly reported the cause of death, and they've now since amended a lot of the articles to try and hide this. The shotgun wounds, that's wounds plural, to the face. Now, number one, if you shoot yourself in the face, you're not going to be in, you know, any kind of state to pull the trigger again.
That's right. The original article said wounds. Were you able to save that?
Well, there's still some up there that still say wounds. They've changed most of the others.
That's what I'm asking. We were able to save that before. We catch them a lot going back and editing.
Well, exactly. And,
they don't retract it and say they were wrong. They just take it out. Let me get a comment from Sully on that. Sully?
Absolutely right. They you know, they're not smart enough to try to keep it glued together, and they end up making up mistakes. And that's what it is. When you lie about something, you forget about what you said in the past. And you know, if it was the truth, then it would have been it would be a solid case on it. But you know, they do that a lot, and that's where we pick up the bits and pieces to know that these people are lying to us.
Chico Brown, what do you think about that's a good point Paul brought up. First, it's wounds, and now they're going back and trying to change it.
Yes, that's the article I read. It said apparent gunshot wounds to the face, and that's the same thing I said.
Yeah.
Wounds. So you got
wounds.
Shot twice.
Yeah. Well, that's like two shotgun wounds to the back of the head. It's impossible to shoot yourself twice in the head with a shotgun.
There's also a very similar case that happened a few years ago in El Toro, where that colonel up there was trying to was getting ready to blow the whistle on the government's drug trafficking.
That's right. It's a military base. Tell us about
it. Marine colonel that was shot in the back, and he also committed suicide, according to the military.
I mean, how do cops come and stand over a dead colonel who stood up against drug dealing and see him shot in the back and go, well, we don't want this to happen to us because we're little cowards.
Yeah.
Let's just shut up.
Exactly.
Well, none of us are safe when we have that attitude. We've all got to stand up. Paul Watson?
Well, yeah, that's another one of the aspects to this. There's been this argument of, you know, why kill him now? After all, his great reporting has already come out. Obviously, as you've been talking about, he had new information that he was working on, which was on the way. And, you know, it would have been easier to get rid of him now, that, you know, in a time when he was out of the spotlight, rather than later on when he's back in the spotlight. But also, you know, it's a fair assumption to make that this is also an extreme show of brute intimidation to anyone else out there with the same kind of sensitive information, whether that be related to the CIA drugs issue or any other issue.
I absolutely agree with you on that.
Consequences.
Yes, because now they're going to be taking steps to do things that have been done before covertly, but now it's not going to be covertly. They're just going to go out there outright and just do whatever the heck they want to do. And if anybody wants to complain about it or whatever, then that's a sign. Here he is. We got the Gary Webb kill. If that's what you want happen to you or to your family, try to stop us. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to come after anybody who goes against them.
I'm going to do something, and I know that I'm going to let, unless he wants to stay with us, and he's welcome to, Chico go here in a few minutes. We've taken so much of his time. But sure. I want to try to keep Selly a little bit into the next hour if he can do it. I know he's busy as well. But regardless, I want to keep the lines open here for only police officers or retired police officers or retired or current intelligence people who want to call in and try to refute this or add to it. Call in, you know, with your experiences or what you've witnessed. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. But Selly, you know, you raised this earlier. All they do is turn people into icons they kill, if we remember them and talk about them.
Exactly.
And that's something that has to be done here with Gary Webb. I mean, if they kill me or they kill you, and we're on record saying we're not going to commit suicide, I expect people to keep the memory alive and to use it against the New World Order.
And we got to go different. You know, we need to go to the universities and lecture to them about what happened to Gary Webb, because those are going to be the leaders of our country one day.
Yeah.
Or people that we really need to go out, you know, grassroots individuals that they need to be educated in a, I'm part of a group called People for Peace and Justice now, and there are a whole bunch of young kids. And when you talk to them about the CIA and then the involvement in atrocities, training the death squads and so forth, that's what's going on in Colombia right now. See, and they're not aware of those situations, and we need to educate them, bring them up to par on the whole issues of what our government is doing.
Chico, yeah. Anything else in closing you want to add? I want to thank you for coming on with us.
You're right. People got to just stand up. You know, we all in this position where at any time something can happen, but that's not changing my mind and my thoughts of what Gary believes and what I believe in, and, you know, and that's the truth of what happened in today's society for us, especially the drug trade and how the government was involved. You know, like you said, we on record, so whatever, you know, if something happened to me, And I didn't kill myself. That's for sure.
All right. Well, keep up the good work with the Youth Center there in Los Angeles. And give us that website one more time.
It's APCH.org. And you can email. My email address is chico@APCH.org.
All right. Chico Brown, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your courage. We'll come back with Celly Castillo and Paul Watson and some of your calls. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com, just some of my websites. We'll be right back. All right. Vietnam, highly decorated sniper, head of the DEA anti-drug operations in Latin America, who sat there, he can tell you, eyewitness to CIA drug trade. Here he is, eyewitness. And there's just scores of these men. He's one of the most prominent. One of the most high-ranking. And he'll be with us into the next hour with Paul Watson. And we got Ed in California, who we'll go to here in a minute, who said he was a dispatcher and was asked to cover stuff up. So that's who we're asking to call in today. Starting the drug trade or other government cover-ups, if you're a police officer or worked in law enforcement and have seen this, want to just make a comment or two on the subject. Before we go back to Celly and Paul Watson, just briefly, I've made 11 films. They're all over 2 hours long. Well, the newest one's 115 minutes long. A little under 2 hours, but all the others are over 2 hours. American Dictators, documenting the staged election of 04. And it just shows how it was all staged. And it gets into the Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones and the 9/11 and the police state. It's a great video. Buy one copy for $19.95. Each additional copy to give as a gift is $5.95. We're only doing this deal for another week, folks. Another week. That's it. Until next Monday. That's the deal. That's the special. 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. $24.95. Almost 3 hours long. Each additional copy, $5.95. We got a 9/11 special. Four 9/11 films and a book for $59.95, a $53 discount. Take advantage of that. You already have some of those books or videos. Buy the package. Give them as gifts. We ship it out UPS. If you get it in the next few days, we should get it to you well before Christmas. The toll-free number to order, 1-888-253-3139. They can answer your questions there as well. 1-888-253-3139. Or Infowars.com. You can order via the safe, secure online shopping cart, watch clips, read about the different specials we're offering at Infowars.com. Or PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're online, you can watch all 11 of my films, dozens of other great documentaries, my book, Paul Watson's book online, weekly TV reports, audio reports, 15 cents a day. The average price is like $7 for an ebook online. Two ebooks. 11 films. It goes on and on and on. PrisonPlanet.tv. Celly Castillo, Paul Watson. Celly and Paul, let's go to Ed in California. Ed, you say you've got some interesting inside dirt for us. Tell us about it.
What am I doing? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. I worked for a small agency in Tucson years ago, and the reason I would never be able to serve on a jury is something that I had jury duty a couple times. I tell them right off the bat that I've witnessed this before, where I was responsible for typing up the blotter, and I know good and well what happened out in the field because I was in radio contact and I followed the sequence of events that would happen in a certain arrest or this or that. And then the officers got back to the station, and I'm sort of under their, as part of the job, I'm under their authority. So I...
Boy, that's just classic, his cell phone cut out. Are you there?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah. Ed, call right back in. But yeah, even telling the dispatchers falsify reports. Celly?
Yes, sir.
You ever heard of dispatchers falsifying reports?
Oh, absolutely. You know, but one of the things that now it's computerized, especially on 911s, everything's recorded. So
but then they always claim it malfunctioned.
Yeah, well, see, that's the other thing. Yeah, or the camera wasn't working or so forth or... the surveillance camera, yeah, but they do that all the time, and that's how they're able to get away with it. But
how do they get so many people to be corrupt? Just it's normal now?
Well, it's normal. See, and everybody's cocky about it. Now they're so blunt about doing what they're doing because they feel that they're protected.
And also, a lot of these TV shows, these dramas, the cops do bad things on those shows, but they're still good So cops watch that, and that's kind of like a moral comforter.
Exactly. Paul, it's letting you know it's okay for you to do it, you know.
Paul Watson, comments?
Well, yeah, I mean, they put all these CCTV cameras up to protect us, but whenever they catch something which the government doesn't want you to find out about, they mysteriously malfunction on every occasion.
Huh. Now, come on, the government's good. We should trust them. We'll be right back. Terror.